Welcome back. You with the news at one, and we begin in London this lunchtime, where British Prime Minister Boris Johnson remains in intensive care, although a spokesperson saying just a short while ago, Mr. Johnson is not on a ventilator and is in a stable condition. I'm joined by the Financial Times political editor, George Parker. That reassurance coming just a short while ago from Number 10, George. But how much credence will be given to what they're saying after the management of the message last week that Mr. Johnson was basically ill but fine?
Well, I think you're right. There's a lot of scepticism around about the messaging coming out of Number 10. As you say, we were told for a period of 9 days that the Prime Minister was suffering from mild symptoms, and then suddenly on Sunday evening he was admitted to hospital, and then on Monday evening he was in an intensive care unit. I think in Downing Street's defence, what they would say is that this is a disease which can move very quickly and unpredictable directions, and so it's entirely possible that his condition has substantially deteriorated in the last 48 hours. But yes, he's still there. He's in intensive care. We're told he doesn't have a diagnosis of pneumonia, which is obviously potentially a good sign. And the other thing coming out of this briefing for journalists, which, as you say, has just ended, is that he's not requiring any mechanical ventilation or any other non-invasive support for his breathing. So that's the latest medical update from Number 10.
So, obviously, Mr. Johnson needs to concentrate on his own health now. Who's running the British government? Tell us about Dominic Raab.
So, Dominic Raab is the first Secretary of State as well as the Foreign Secretary. That means that he is Boris Johnson's designated deputy in the event of something like this happening. Boris Johnson indicated to Dominic Raab that he'd like him to stand in for him while he was out of action, and that's what's going to happen. Mr. Raab is 46. He's a Brexiteer. Respected on the right of the party, not always a particularly fluent media performer. And I think that's one of the things that the government will lack, Boris Johnson's direct way of communicating to the British public during this emergency. And of course, the other thing is that Dominic Raab will be running a crisis government and trying to take very big decisions without the full authority of a prime minister who, for now at least, is incapacitated.
So you've a vacuum of power at the very top of government at a time when you've got the UK facing this national crisis that the whole world is dealing with. But at the moment, the curve doesn't appear to be going that well, particularly in London. This is quite a serious challenge, isn't it, George?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's almost like the script of a horror movie, almost in a way, isn't it? That this virus hits and then. It's only a month ago, more or less, that the Prime Minister was chairing his first emergency meeting to deal with this virus, and a month later he's in an intensive care unit. So it's a huge national crisis, as you say. That's the worst possible time for the Prime Minister to be off the scene. I would say that the one sort of slightly encouraging bit of news is that the scientists believe that the rate of new infections, the peak of the virus, is going to hit Britain over the Easter weekend, so in the next few days. So it may be, but of course the impact on hospitals will be felt for several weeks after that. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, there is a feeling that the lockdown is having an effect now. There'll be an argument for many years to come about whether the lockdown in the UK was introduced far too late.
But we're already hearing of cabinet arguments between your Chancellor of the Exchequer and your Health Secretary over there. This is quite a new government, many of them quite inexperienced. Is there any talk or mutterings about a potential government of national unity that might command more authority?
Well, as you say, that you'd expect tensions between the health department, which wants as many people locked down as possible to relieve pressure on the hospitals, and the Treasury, which is seeing the economic costs piling up. And there has been a bit of speculation about whether, you know, this is a moment where we bring the opposition parties in, and we have a new leader of the Labour Party, of course, Keir Starmer, who's just been elected. At the moment, I don't think that is very likely. Keir Starmer is certainly being brought into the confidence of Downing Street and being briefed on what's going on, but I don't think we're in a situation yet where a number of different opposition parties will be brought into government. But we're into a different form of government where we're going to see cabinet government returning. I think Dominic Raab will be determined to bring the whole cabinet into decision-making. I think the one thing I would say is that because he's not a full-time prime minister, I suspect he's likely to be more cautious when it comes to removing or reducing the scale of the lockdown in the UK, so than Boris Johnson might have been if he was functioning as head of government.
And the other question that seems to be bubbling under in the UK is the question of the way that the police are implementing the social controls and urging people to stay at home. And obviously we're facing into Easter. The forecast is for good weather. But talk to me a little bit about the tensions that have arisen there and how that's being managed.
Yes, I mean, there's been a lot of anxiety, particularly from the Conservative Party, actually, about the way that the police are implementing this. And just a small anecdote, I went for a walk with the family as part of our daily exercise at the weekend down the River Thames. And for virtually the whole route of our walk, we were being buzzed by a police helicopter, which was doing surveillance of whether people were maintaining social distancing. So there has been criticism of the way the police are handling this. On the other hand, that's become more muted, I would say, in the last 48 hours, because we have this highly visible sign of how this disease, you know, can knock people out, including the Prime Minister. And we've seen footage on the BBC over the last 24 hours of staff in intensive care units struggling to deal with the tide of infection. So I think, by and large, people are with the measures that have been introduced by the government, and they actually have a fair amount of sympathy for the police in trying to enforce it.
Yeah, it was London City University Hospital, wasn't it, that footage emerged from? I think the BBC had it. Absolutely stunning, the pressure that the hospital staff were under and the way that they were working to save lives. George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and I hope you get to go on enjoying your family walks in safety.